traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, horsemen, horse people from everywhere. This is Scott Miller with the International Equine Network, getting ready to bore you to death for the next hour, and hope you stay with us. If you want to call in, we got a number of 323-744-4831. You can call in and you can criticize me, you can praise me, you can do whatever you want just as long as you call in. It's 323-744-4831. Well, here in South Florida this week, it was very, very interesting in the equestrian community. And south of us here in the Broward County, West Palm Beach County line, we had 25 inches of rain in one day, and it literally flooded everything. The Fort Lauderdale International Airport had to close because of water. Gulfstream Racetrack canceled racing on the 13th, and today, because of the rain that we've had here. We had 18 inches of rain here at the farm. And I mean, it was just a steady downpour all day long and all night long. You know, it was just unbelievable how that hit us. And, you know, it goes to show you, like we've been talking all along, about weather conditions and horses, you know, training and, you know, things of that nature, and how to incorporate the adjustments you have to make for the racing and the training, you know, that you're doing. They called us from Gulfstream, and they said that they were canceling racing April 13th and 14th because of heavy rainfall and severe weather April 12th in South Florida. It resulted in a tornado warning, flooded streets, and the closing of Fort Lauderdale International Airport and schools throughout the area. Billy Badgett, executive director of the Florida Racing Operations for First Racing, which operates Gulfstream Park, said 18 inches of rain fell at the track in a 2.5-hour period of time on Wednesday. Far more rain is forecasted by the Weather Service. He said at 9 a.m. Thursday morning that he was not aware of any injuries to people or horses on the site. "We're getting through it," he said. "They have pumps running right now. On the backside, obviously, the lower barn area is flooded, and we're just moving some horses around to higher ground. It will be another 3 or 4, 5 hours before the water subsides." Gulfstream was not open for training Thursday, though Badgett said the dirt instead of synthetic tapia surfaces would be possibly open for training. And this goes to show you, you know, like we were saying, when you have horses here, you know, no matter where you're at, like New Orleans, Hot Springs, New York, California, you know, that type of thing, you got to be able to adjust your training schedules that you're on for, you know, your horses. And, you know, hopefully they, you know, a day or two of training is not going to really hurt missing that. But anything past that would, you know, be difficult to do, especially getting ready to come up to the Kentucky Derby and, you know, and the Triple Crown races. You know, every day of training is important. And I'll give you a good example. Like Todd Pletcher still has his big guns here. The Derby horses are still here at Palm Beach Downs. And he said the other day that he was planning to get out of here in the next week or two. And here it is, the 14th, and the Derby's coming up in 3 weeks. And he'd like to get the horses up to Kentucky. But he said the big factor for him was the weather. Down here, we've had pretty good weather. As a matter of fact, our Palm Beach Downs facility, it really didn't do anything to it. Here at Sunshine Meadows, our show arenas were all flooded, but our main track and our 5-H track for the standardbreds, it remained open. And actually, the standardbred people told us it's probably the best the track's ever been because that track needs a lot of water to it. And so, you know, we kind of dodged the bullet there a little bit. And then in Miami at the Global Champions Tour on the beach, they've weathered the storm, you might say. And so they're doing pretty good there. So, you know, it's always something in the horse business. Thank God, you know, nobody was hurt. It was just rain and water, and that all will subside, you know, to let everybody get back to normal. But speaking of, you know, getting back to normal and what we're doing there, you know, with our horses and, you know, the whole nine yards, we're going to talk about morning training and workouts and explain. Workouts, breezes, and blowouts. And this is very important to people that are getting ready for the Derby. Something that you plan on and you hope to do, hope to get done. And I tell you, I just can't emphasize this enough. Horses are creatures of habit, and you have to do the same thing day in and day out with them. And like, say, for example, training. They're equine athletes. They get into a regular training routine, an exercise routine, and you just got to stay on top of it. Now, there are occasions when you can miss a day or two, you know, of training, and it really doesn't, you know, hurt. Anything after, you know, 3 days, it's kind of tough, you know, to keep them at that same level that they're at when they stop training. And that's, well, I tell you what, it's tough when you do that. It makes you readjust everything that you do. You know, if you're pointing for the Derby or, you know, the Global Champions Tour show or, you know, the Hamiltonian. You got to stay consistent and you got to keep it going. You don't need to take any steps backwards. And that's what happened a lot this year in their route to the Kentucky Derby, how they get there. I tell you, there was so much rain in New Orleans and Hot Springs, and the weather was cold up and down all over the place. You know, it was tough. It was tough for some of these trainers, and they've done a remarkable job on keeping their horses tight and fit and ready for, you know, getting ready for the Derby on the way they kept doing them. Brad Cox said that he liked it in New Orleans all winter long, and, you know, it proved out. He did very well. His horses are doing good, but now we're talking about a whole different ballgame, you know, by heading up to Kentucky to Churchill Downs. I've been in Kentucky at times that, you know, the 1st of April, boy, there were flowers everywhere, and the temperatures were in the 60s and 70s in the afternoon, and a lot of sunshine, and they dropped down into the 50s and 60s at night, and just, you know, beautiful training for the horses. And then I've been there when, this was like in 2003, I think, went into Kentucky from here, and we were there about 10 days before the Derby, and I went to bed that night. We were racing at Kingland the next day, and I went to bed, and I woke up, and I looked out, and I saw nothing but 2 inches of snow on the ground, you know, with all the flowers and the apple blossoms and all the blooms and everything, you know, covered in snow. And but, you know, you can't really plan for that. You can just plan to adjust to it, and that's what you have to do. And that's why Todd's waiting before he goes up there, wants to wait for that weather to get real consistent. You don't need a dramatic change in your daily lifestyle and your daily training record, you know, just because of the weather. And so the longer you stay here, the more consistent the weather is. And then if you get up there, if it's only just a few, you know, 3, 4, 5 days, you know, you're pretty good to go, you know, with it. So those are the things that you have to do. And the training end of it, you've got to stay consistent and moving forward. You got to stay on the plan. And no matter where you're at, no matter what happens, you got to stay on the plan. Because this is a crucial time in the Derby, the last 3 weeks, going into the Derby, that you've got to maintain that fitness and that consistency where you're at. Especially, you know, when you're winning, you know, you got to keep the engine tuned, keep it going. And so that's what, you know, we were saying all along in the past year or so on, is how they get there. is the consistency. Where do you run? What races do you run? And we're going to go over some races here and explain to you exactly, you know, what happened in them. Some of these races were big races, but they come up what they call light. There were a bunch of good horses in it, but highly unlikely that, you know, all of them or any of them would go to the Kentucky Derby. And that's the thing that you have to look at now when you're going into to the Derby. Where did I go? How did I finish? And now where do we go from here to, you know, keep pointing forward to get your horse peaked at the right time for the Kentucky Derby? And it's a tough job for the trainers. Well, I tell you, I just don't see how they do it. And I'll give you a classic example. Belmont Park, where a lot of horses are used to training, that was closed most of the winter because they were rebuilding the track. They were rebuilding the infield. There was a lot of things that they were doing. And so April 11th, they reopened again. And so they'll have horses back there training and staying consistent. And, you know, it's a good track to train on. You know, I like it a lot better than I do Aqueduct. And, you know, why, I don't know. I think they call Belmont the Big Sandy. And I think that's really good for the horses. And, you know, you can do a lot with it. There's a big, long stretch. You know, there's just a lot that you can do with your horses over at Belmont. And a lot of horses that come out of Belmont ended up running really good at Saratoga and Kentucky. And some of them go down to Maryland and run and do very, very well. But, you know, it's a trainer's nightmare now because we have the synthetic tracks. We have the grass. We have the dirt tracks. You know, it's all a whole big game. And we're still trying to figure out that how these Tapeta tracks or the synthetic tracks are to work on, because, you know, you're training on the dirt constantly. And then when you go to an artificial track or something other than dirt or turf, it makes a hard thing. There's really not a lot of statistics on these tracks. How horses do, but and that's only because most all this stuff is new. Most all of it's new that they're coming in off of. And it used to be where that you could take a horse from the dirt and go to the turf and do pretty good, or you could bomb out. Now we've got the synthetic and the Tapeta tracks that you go to, and I've seen some horses, it makes no difference, you know, in how they run on those two artificial surfaces. They move from the dirt, and they go over and they do well, or they come from the turf and go over to them and they do well, or they just don't run at all on it. So, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, they're trying to learn how to do. How do you train a horse for the synthetic or the Tapeta tracks? You know, that's the big thing. When you're training for the turf, you know what you have to do and how you need to do it, you know, but the two artificial tracks are the ones that are really killing us now. You know, and it makes a big difference. And when, especially like when you're going to the Derby, you know, do I race on the artificial tracks any at all? Do I stay on the dirt? Do I go to the turf? There's just so many things that, you know, that come in involved into it, you know, along with the weather conditions as we're talking about. So, you know, that's just something to think about in there. And if you got any ideas, email us or call us and let us know what your opinion is on the artificial tracks and the Derby and turf racing, that type of thing. I'm really excited about some new things that are coming up here in our business. And when I say our business, I mean all the horses. We have the Global Champions Tour in Miami this weekend, 25 to 50 of the top riders in the world will be there. And there's a 12 country series that you go to, and they take the best, the best. And then in November, I believe it's Prague, Czechoslovakia, this year that they have the world tournament championship. And it's really good because you see the very best and the best, competing once a month in this, Global Champions Tour. And I'm proud to say that We have a girl setting in second place today down at Miami. Americans are 1-2 right now. And it's really unusual, you know, to see all these international champions come in. And then what I like about it is, and like I always say here at Sunshine Meadows, I tell the girls that are out riding, I tell them, I said, do you realize that the path that you walked to that ring and back to that barn? And I said, we call that the path of past, present, and future champions. And so Haley has proven us today down at Miami at the Global Champions Tour that she's one of the best, and she's sitting in second spot. And hopefully she can win this thing this weekend. You know, we're going to wish her all the luck in the world. That's the Global Champions Tour in Miami this weekend. And then we got our harness horses that are all going back up north. Got some real nice horses going. So, you know, it's just really good time to be, you know, in South Florida and the horses. And it's kind of sad to see them go, but, you know, it's going to be interesting. And then, like I was saying, all these different things that we're doing here in the business, we're going to be live streaming the Middleburg Spring Races in Virginia. They're going to be live streaming those, and they've got a good television contract with them. The two-hour live stream is scheduled to begin at 1 p.m. when the field heads to the post for the first of eight races with $250,000. It will be hosted by ABR's Dan. I don't have his last name here. Megan Conley and Brianna Mott will be there to let you know what all is going on. And sorry, Dan, didn't have your name there in our press release, but we'll find it out. They're going to broadcast several of these meets like this. These are mostly grass meets, jumper meets, you know, that type of thing going over the fences. And the industry now has realized that it's an amazing industry to be a part of. And the thing that's lacking, and it always has been, and always will be for a while, is the distribution of the equine information and the video, and print, and radio. And that's what we're here at IEN trying to do, is to try to bring all these different breeds and countries together so that we can provide programming for them to, you know, watch and you know, get involved with. And on the 28th of this month, it's going to be our first live television programming. We worked out a couple of things here on my end, and providing BBS can direct me in the right direction, which I know they will. We're going to have live programming. So not only will I bore you with my audio aspects and talents, I will bore you with my antics and my physical features on the television. And that ought to be interesting in itself, you know, just to see that, what we're doing here. And, you know, I've always said that information, and no matter what sport you're in, no matter what you do, whether you're in business or what have you, it's about distribution of your information. You know, if you're selling baseball bats, it's about distribution and information on your product. And it used to be where television and radio were really expensive to advertise, and you know, difficult for a business to be successful, having to pay so much, you know, money to get your product out there. But it was worth it because it did increase, you know, sales and increase what you were doing. But nowadays, with the internet and with the system the way it is now, it's really easy to do what you need to do. You know, it's just a matter of finding the right people and the right things, and like BBS radio and TV. They're very economically sound for somebody trying to do distribution. They got the outlet. They got the access to any and everything. And those are the kind of things that we're trying to put together here in IEN. You know, like, for example, we have a company on our Business of the Week, and they'll always be the Business of the Week. I'm probably going to have to change that because FarmVet, they literally carry any and everything that you need in the equine industry. And the way things are nowadays, the way they can drop ship and overnight things to you and everything, you know, that's what I try telling everybody to do when you're building your business. You got to get the right people around you, and you get the right people around you for what? To get your products out to the people. Now, for example, FarmVet, they have any and everything that you can need in the equine industry. And they're basically a phone call or a click away on the internet to order whatever you need, and they drop ship it right directly to you, whether you're at the racetrack, the showgrounds, on the farm, or going international. They can get it to you. And that's what our business is about, and that's what we're trying to tell everybody about here at IEN. If you send me your information, what you're doing, who you are, where you're at, I will get it on our website. We will get it up to hundreds of people every day that look at my website. You'll have that there, and then we hope to expand that and grow that through our international equine network report and our different things that we have on our website that will actually be in our TV and radio programming. For example, again, Hallway Feeds is another one. They feed horses all over the world. They have a great program. They got a lot of tutorials that you can click onto there and see how to feed your horse, what's wrong with it. You can call them, email them, and they'll tell you, you know, what they think should be done with your horse and work with you. And that's what we like about, you know, these companies that we're dealing with. You know, to give you the inside information to help you get to where you're going with your equine programming. And like I said, you call me or email me, and I'll put you up on the website. It's free. Now, that is free, and it's whatever you want to put on there. You know, we'll have it there. Like our Farm of the Week, we're taking a virtual tour this week, courtesy of TDN reporting. It's a virtual tour of Spencer Farm in Lexington, Kentucky. And that again, is one of the oldest and most established thoroughbred farms in the world. But you get out and you can get and take a virtual tour of it. And it's just like you being able to go to the farm, to Spencer Farm. And if you're in Lexington, you can go over and take a tour of the farm, physically take a tour of the farm. But we provide a virtual tour, and hopefully that will entice you to go to Lexington for a vacation and go to Spencer and take that virtual tour of the farm. You know, that's one of the things that we like to do here. Another thing, for example, with Churchill Downs. We've got a nice little thing. It's called Around the Downs. And they talk to the trainers and the jockeys and everything. And you get behind the story and see, you know, how they became the trainer or the owner or the breeder or the jockey or the groom, hot walker, gate guard. It tells you what all they do, you know, and that's information. That's information that you normally wouldn't be able to get, but here you can get it for free. You can see what they're doing, and then hopefully that will get you to take interest into going to Churchill and seeing what they have and taking the backside tour and going to the races or maybe even going to the Derby and the Kentucky Oaks. You know, that's what we like. It's got all the information there that you need. They'll tell you about housing. They'll tell you about food, hotels. They'll tell you about vehicles that you can rent. It tells you the whole nine yards. You know, and it's kind of like a trip ticket from AAA. We give you everything. Like today, we've got live racing from Keeneland. It's the week, 3 weeks before the Derby. You see a lot of good horses that'll be running at Churchill. And how they get their program. We've got the most important horses, races leading up to the Derby and horses, and there on how they get there. A 2023 Kentucky Derby. We've got the full race of the Louisiana Derby. We've got the full race for the Florida Derby. We've got the full race for the Keeneland's Bluegrass Stakes. We've got the Wood Memorial from Aqueduct. We've got all the big races leading up to the Derby. And we got the Santa Anita Derby from Santa Anita, and our Arkansas Derby from Hot Springs, and a Tampa Bay Derby from Tampa Bay. So now you can go through and you can literally watch all those races, and then you can help, you know, help you understand, and it'll help you be able to watch the Derby because you've seen those horses racing. Before all this internet and the television started getting as good as it did, you had to literally get a racing form or a newspaper, you know, and read the results, which is all good. It's been a tradition for a long time. But now we're stepping forward into the electronic age, and we got any and everything there. And so now you can put your eye to, you know, the actual race, the actual video of the race, and you can see how they did and you know, kind of make your, choices from there. And that helps. And we do that all year long with all the horse racing that's part of the Kentucky Derby, you know, point system. And it helps you out a lot to see what's going on. And these races are live, and then we also archive them so that you can watch them again, you know, with what they're doing, you know, leading to the Derby. So, you know, having said that, we even have international. We have racing from Europe and Dubai and Japan. And that's a big thing when it comes time to the Derby, you know, when you're looking for it. So the whole point of what we're trying to get across week in and week out, and I know if there's anybody listening, you get tired of hearing it, but it's about planning. It's about how you run your day from the time you get up to the time you go to bed. It's how you run your business. You want to make it very easy to do. And like, for example, if you're working on the farm and you've got a lot to do every day, which we all do, and you want to start trying to keep up with the Derby, you come to intv.org and you can do that. And you can do that 24/7 on your own time. You don't have to say, oh, well, gee whiz, this is coming on at 2:00 and I got to get over there to get it. And something delays you and you can't get there to get it. At least it's archived and it's there for when you want to read it, for when you've got the time to do it. And that's the whole horse business. You got to be organized. You got to have everything where it's easy to get to and get on a regular routine, like training the horse in the morning or in the afternoon. You got to get simplified. The simpler it is, the better off it is. And believe you me, I'm telling you, my system is so simple, it's scary at all, you know. So, but that's, you know, what we're trying to say here. And it's got a lot of good things going on here. There's a lot of avenues out there that you can get involved with the thoroughbred business. I tell you what, myracehorse.com is a good company to get with. The twinspires.com is good to get with. You know, there's a lot of good things that you can get involved with that'll keep you educated about it. For example, on our website, Monmouth Park's getting ready to open up May 13th. If you look at their schedule of events, opening day is May 13th. May 14th is Mother's Day. That's a real great day there to take mom out to the track and good food, good entertainment, you name it, they have it. And then this is one of the things that they started a few years back, and I'm telling you, it's really good. There's a lot of food trucks all over this country. Up in Jersey, there's quite a few of them. And on May 27th and 29th, they have the Jersey Shore Food Truck Festival. And that's where they have food trucks coming from Pennsylvania, Maryland, New York, New Jersey, from everywhere. And you get a sampling of all kinds of food, be it Italian, American, Spanish, you know, French. They have these food trucks. And I tell you what, it's a great 2 days to go through. That's May 27th and 29th at Monmouth Park. Racetrack in New Jersey there. They got a long sleeve. This is what a lot of people go to get for. And I tell you, I've done this myself. And it's a long sleeve t-shirt giveaway on June the 10th. their baseball T-shirts with a long sleeve. And you get a shirt when you go in for the price of admission. In some tracks across the country, it's $1 or $2 to get in. And I tell you what, I've seen some people go to the track and they go through that turnstile 4 or 5 times, you know, to get these Jersey Shore long sleeve baseball T-shirt giveaway. They do it at Gulfstream, and they do it at Tampa, Santa Anita, Laurel Park. They always have giveaways, and the price of the giveaway is usually, if it's not free, then it's just the price of admission, and price of admission is usually $1 or $2. So that's really good. That's June the 10th they do that. June 11th they have, they pack the place there in Monmouth Park. On June 11th they have the 51st New Jersey Irish Festival. And man, let me tell you, the food, the people, that's one heck of a day. It lasts all the way into the 12th. That's how good it is. Then they come on June 18th, they got Father's Day. June 24th, they got the Wine and Pizza Festival. They got the car show's good there. That's July 9th. And it's a car show on Oldies Day, which is really good. There's a lot to do at each one of these tracks, and they usually have festivals all week long, or, you know, all month long, or the whole time that they're open during the meet. You know, they have something that's going on there at the track. That's really good. We've got a World Cup Polo playing live now on our program called Chucker. You just go down and scroll down to domestic and international equine events. And we've got World Cup soccer live today. We have the Global Champions Tour that's on today. We got the Tattersall horse breeze up sales out of Europe today. You just go and click on the Tattersalls, and it'll take you right to it, which is good. And then we've got the information, which is really good, is the 30th of this month. The last days at Keeneland Racing, they have a sale. And last year, a gentleman had bought a horse for, I think it was around $15,000 on that last day of the sale at racing at Keeneland. And he bought it live. And then he, like I said, it was fairly inexpensive. And then the next thing you know, 3 weeks later, he's got the horse that he just bought in the Keeneland sale racing agent. 3 weeks later, he went to Churchill Downs with it, and it wasn't a real expensive race, but he went a race and he made his money back. And he bought it right out of the sale, ready to go, ready to race anywhere in the country that they got racing. You can take them. If they fit the conditions, then, you know, you can race them. But this guy sits there and he spends, you know, $15,000-$20,000 on a horse. 3 weeks later, he makes his money back, winning a race at Churchill Downs. You know, I'm not saying that everybody could do that, but the opportunity's there, and you didn't have to pay a lot of money to get him ready to go to the races, like over a 6-month period to get him ready. You know, you got him ready to go. And this sale has really become popular. And I believe the catalog this morning said they've got about 48 horses altogether. In the sale. So meaning you could go to Keeneland there in Lexington and buy a horse, and you could literally be racing anywhere with it, you know, the very next week. And these are the kind of things that we have to put, you know, up on here. Like I said, the Global Champions Tour, you know, we got a direct link there so you can watch it live. And what I like about this is it gives you something to look forward to. The Global Champions Tour, because it's one show a month, and it comes from 12 different countries over the year. So, you know, it gives you a little something to look forward to. And I know that me, myself, I found out that when I'm the happiest is when I've got something to look forward to. And one of the things I like is doing this show every week. You know, I'm not the greatest at it. I'm not knocking down a lot of ratings. But it's something that I like to do, something that I enjoy, and keeps me involved in all the horse business and just not part of it. You know, we cover a little bit of everything here, and it's all my opinion on, you know, what we do and how we should do it. And I like that. It's kind of like some guys like playing golf every week, you know, or going bowling or, you know, fishing or whatever. This is kind of all those things wrapped up into one for me, you know, and I like it. I'm working with some of the best horses in the world. We've got three horses going to the Kentucky Derby this year from the Delray Beach, Palm Beach Downs show farm. We got 17 horses from there that'll be running Derby week. You know, so when we go into the Kentucky Derby, we're a major factor in that. And I look forward to seeing these horses come in September and then see where they are in you know, November and then again in May. I like doing that. And that's what I like about doing this show. You know, I'm not just talking about horses. I'm talking about horses that I'm involved with. You know, like we've got two people there at the Longines Global Champions Tour in Miami. And they're sitting at the one girl, Haley, she's sitting at second place right now. Could win the thing this weekend. And we had Arlie on the show last week, or a couple weeks back. And Arlie, she rides down there. She's doing very well. You know, so it's really good. We've got some, we've got a horse here that was in our standard bred facility there, Sunshine Meadows. And when he left here last year this time, he was just a horse that was on his way up. When he finished the season last year, he ended up with $1,500,000 in purse money, and that's unheard of in the standard bred business. And the thing I like about it is Brett McGrath, the owner and trainer of the horse, he's got his brother, he's got Sun Beach's brother right down here, and he's on the path to doing the same thing next year, you know, like his brother's done. And so, you know, we're dealing with good, good horses here. And you know, it's exciting for me. You know, this is the golf for me. Out of the week. Now we're looking forward to the Breeders' Cup. It's going to be at Santa Anita this year. It's the 40th running of the Breeders' Cup, November 3rd and 4th, 2023 at Santa Anita. And that's where all the best horses in the world come to race in, you know, for millions of dollars that weekend. And that's really, really good, you know, to look forward to that. And we got the Preakness and the Belmont coming up on how they get there. The Preakness from Baltimore and the Belmont from New York. A lot of good things there. Belmont Park's going to be a whole new park. They redid the surfaces on the track. They redid the turf course. They made a big infield so people could go to the infield like they do at the Derby and the Preakness. So they'll be able to do that at the Belmont Park this year. And they got a great sports facility there. But now, like I said, it's about distribution of information. You know, people are going to come to do what you want them to do in your end of the equine business, no matter whether you're a tack shop or you're horse transportation or a racetrack or show horse facility or, you know, whatever you are in the business, it's all about distribution of the information. And I tell you what, I'm telling you, I had a long talk with a gentleman years ago in Ireland. We'd taken some horses over to Ireland. And he was about marketing and things that they do in Ireland. And he told me, he said, you know, he said, I don't understand this. He said, you go to NBC or ABC or ESPN and you ask them about, you know, filming or doing a program like, say, for the Derby or, you know, whatever equine event you have. And they come back and they said, oh, okay, Mr. Miller, this is what we're going to do. For us to broadcast you and your program, your hour-long program, it's going to cost you $1,300,000. And it's going to have, you know, 16 30-second spots in it. We will retain two of those 30-second spots, and the rest of them you can sell on your own. And so it never was, you know, financially sound investment to do to get your program out there. And so he got to thinking. He said, you know what? He said, it doesn't matter. He said, whether you've got 10 listeners and 10 viewers or a million viewers, that doesn't guarantee you that they're going to come back and watch your show. You could have a million viewers, potentially a million viewers to watch your program, but it doesn't mean they're going to watch it. That's not a guarantee. That's the only thing in marketing. You know, everybody comes up, oh, well, you know, I go to all 50 states. I do this. I do that. But how many actually are going to come and view your program? And so that's what we're trying to say. In the horse business, it'd be nice to have the NBCs and the ESPNs and Sky Sports, you know, to do distribution of your programming. But again, they can't guarantee you. And that's like me. I might have 10 viewers, if that. And I can't guarantee you all 10 of them are going to come and call you for your product. Maybe one of them might call you, or maybe all 10 of them could call you, but I can't. There are no guarantees. And that's no different than NBC or any of the big networks, or the CBSs or you know, the ESPNs. They can't guarantee you that you're going to get so many people. But what they do guarantee you is they've given you the opportunity to, you know, get to these people. And that's what it's all about. And that's what we're trying to do here, is give people the opportunity and some inside information on what we're doing in the horse business. And that's all breeds, not just one, but that's all breeds. And hopefully some of you folks will, you know, eventually go out there and get involved with it. You know, and especially like the program right now I spent the last 2 years working on and thinking about these projects and seeing what I could do. And when it all was said and done, is I liked the website. And the reason I like it is because it's got a little bit of everything, and it gets you right to the people that know. You know, and that's what I like about this. And like how they get there, the 2023 Kentucky Derby. You know, we go through and we're talking to owners and you're going to meet the trainers. And on the 28th, you're going to see a really good show on the 28th. It's video and radio on there. We're going to have Jerry Bailey on. He's going to tell us what it's like to be a jockey in the Kentucky Derby and his career. We've got trainer Todd Pletcher. He's going to have three, maybe four horses in the Kentucky Derby this year. And he's going to tell you exactly how he feels and how they got there under his programming and what he won and the way he got him to the Derby. We're going to have that on there. We're going to have on that first show. It's mind-boggling to me. And when I had the idea, is I went to Keeneland, and Anna Seitz is my announcer, and she went to Keeneland, and we went on the backside, and we started interviewing trainers, the Let's Go Stables. And we wanted to find out exactly, you know, what they did and how they got involved in the business. And I sat down with them at Aqueduct Racecourse, and we started talking, and one thing led to another. I said, sure, they got a horse named Reddy's Echo that was going, just finished his three-year-old season, and they laid him off, and they're bringing him back. And they were bringing him back at Keeneland. And so what we did is we followed them around, talked to them. We watched the horse race. We did a lot of interviews with the jockeys and you know, did a lot of things. But basically what the show on the 28th is going to be about is how you basically start the programming. You're going to see all a lot of raw footage, a lot of bloopers. You're going to see a lot of things and how they do it. And it's going to give you the insight of what it takes to put together a program, about the camera people, the tracks that you go to, the interviews you do, the different angles, how you have to edit it down to, you know, where it all goes smooth. You know, and just like, you know, the way I describe it, it looks like I know what I'm doing when you get the final product done. But when you see all the things that it takes to get to it, oh man, is that a joke? You know, you see all the bloopers and you see what it takes, you know, to get there and how it is to put it together. The different takes that you have, the different angles that you have. There's just so many things there that it's going to be interesting to see in there. And then on there, one of the things that I really like, and I've been, I watched that time and time and time again, but the different states that are around, there, again, it goes back to what we say here at IN. It's about distribution of your product. And in Florida here, the ag department is always studying and taking it into consideration, you know, what makes our state go here, what makes it, you know, really grow. And so I became real good friends in Tallahassee with the agriculture director. And what we did with that is we went down and talked like I'm talking now with you guys about what we could do to help people understand about the Florida horse industry. And so the show that you're going to see next week, it's about 14 minutes long, and it's called The Florida Horse. And it talks about what all the Florida horse does in the state of Florida, the impact of the Florida horse for the state of Florida, the communities, the counties, the cities. It's really a good part. And we've got some good interviews on there, and you can see all the breeds of horses that we have there. You can see a little bit of everything. That's going to be a good one. But that's what the first show is going to be about. It's going to be about horses and the economic impact and the social impact that the horse industry has on, you know, the American economy and the culture. When you go to Europe, for example, just about any and everybody you talk to is directly involved with the horse or the agricultural industry because that's a part of their culture. They haven't really got to the point to where, you know, that corporations have taken over their countries like they have here. You know, every time they do something, they got, you know, they got something that can do it for you. But in a lot of countries, you have to do it yourself. And in the horse business, you know, there's no machines to train your horse. There's no machines to shoe your horses or feed your horses. You know, it's all hands-on. And that's what we're showing here. And I think you're going to like that show. Now, we're going to start now and really get it serious here on the Kentucky Derby, how they get there, the 2023 Kentucky Derby. Last weekend was interesting. We had on April the 8th, we had the Santa Anita Derby, and all these horses were trying to get points to get into the Kentucky Derby. You got to have points to get into the Derby. And it would be, you know, right now the break was like at 44, you know, to get in. And each one of these races offered different numbers of points to get in. And one of them was a $750,000 Santa Anita Derby for three-year-olds. They're going a mile and an eighth on the turf. And it was a relatively small field. They had nine horses in the field. Really good field. They had Practical Move from Tim Yacton and National Treasure, which were good, were Bob Baffin horses, and they were really, really good. And then the interesting thing is we had Mandarin Hero that came in for Japan. And we wanted to find out how good this horse is and, you know, what he can do and where he can go and how, you know, how he would adapt to it. And so they fly him in a week before, you know, the Santa Anita Derby. And I tell you what, this horse was a heck of a horse. He was a heck of a horse. And Tim Yacton, he had Practical Move, won the race, which is a good horse. He's a really good horse. One to consider for the Derby. And then Mandarin Hero ran second. And, I mean, he was running at him big time. And so now we got those two that will be headed off towards the Derby. And it's going to be interesting to see how they do this next, you know, 3 weeks, how their training schedule goes and, you know, do with that. But the Japanese horse, they look like they're spot on this year. They've been training on the dirt in Japan. They've been training from the starting gate, and they have a lot of large fields in Japan. And so the large field's not going to be a fear factor, as they say, in it this year. Some of them worry about the large field. And I think he's going to do good. And then we came in and we had the Wood Memorial at Aqueduct. And I tell you what, that was a field that was loaded. Todd Fletcher had Dreamlike in there. He also had Croupy in there. And he had a Classic Catch that was in there. And I mean, they're good horses. They're really good horses. And I tell you, they really jumped up and said, hey, where did this horse come from? And if they'd have been listening to us on IEN, they would have known about this horse because we talked about him several times on there here. It was Joseph Saffy Jr. He had a horse in there called Lord Miles. And I tell you what, this horse came out of there ready to roll. He meant business when he came out of there. And he took the lead on him. He jumped out on all the horses, all the good horses that were in there. You know, he said, I'm here to run. The horse paid $120.50 to win. It was a long shot. And so now he's punched his ticket to the group. So... you know, I'm sitting there thinking like, oh, my goodness. Here are all the best laid plans that are out the window now for most of those horses in that race. You might see a couple out of there, but I doubt it. That horse, he just jumped up on him, and it was gone. And, you know, he was a good race, good horses. And it really, you know, tested him. But we'll see what it took out of him, you know, because now you're just, you know, a few weeks off the Derby. And that really, you know, that really shocked a lot of people. And so I said, uh-oh. I said, now what's going to happen? So then we take off and we go you know, Keeneland for the Bluegrass Stakes. And, you know, I said, holy smokes. I said, what are we going to do here? So we had a good field. Todd Pletcher had Tappet Trice in there. D-Wayne Lucas had Major Blue. And then Mark Cassie had Classic Car Wash, Very Fine by Mr. Cox. William Walden had Clear the Air. I tell you, it was a well rounded field. A lot of speed, a lot of closing speed, a lot of off the pace speed. It was good, but again, it came down, and it was Todd Fletcher. Todd Fletcher with Tappet Trice. He comes out and he wins it by a neck, and it was a good solid field. He came from way back in the back down the middle of the stretch, and he caught the horses right at the wire, and he was moving. And that was a good sign. When you got a horse that can close down a stretch, especially at Keeneland. Keeneland's got a real short stretch, and it's really difficult to close on and beat somebody down the stretch at Keeneland, in which Tappet Trice did. So that tells me that he needs a route of ground, a mile and a quarter would be good for him. And, you know, depending on how he comes out of the race, you know, is a big deal. And we found out that he did come out of the race good, and he's got a good shot at going on and winning the Derby. And so that, we were excited about that. And then all the points that all the horses had to get leading up to the Derby, to get into the Derby, comes down to the last lonely points race where they award points. And it's actually tomorrow. It's the Lexington Stakes in Lexington. And it's just, my goodness, it said, who's going to win the Lexington Stakes? It's a mile and a 16th, and it's a good race. It's on the dirt for 3-year-olds. So they got a field of they got a field of 11 in it, and these are not many of these horses are going to be able to you know, get into the Derby in here because they just don't have enough points. And even if the winner gets the points, you know, we don't know and he'll get in or not. Steve Ashmussen has a horse called Disarm in there. Ortiz will be riding the horse. And he's a good horse. Maybe he can get in and get enough points. But that looks like the only horse in this field that would be able to qualify for the Derby. Back in the day, Arabian Lion was thought of a big-time Derby contender from California, but, you know, it didn't shake out good for him. So we'll find out tomorrow. And you can see that on IENTV.com. You'll be able to get all the information on that there. And then our website, IENTV.org, which you'll be able to see, you know, that race there in itself in its entirety. And so that, we're kind of looking forward to that, to see what's going to happen, you know, with it. It's going to be a good weekend. We've got a lot of good horses that are pointing for the Derby. And then if you start watching our programming, we're going to have Dawn at the Downs in the morning, and we're going to have on our website, we're going to have the Morning Works live from Churchill Downs in there. And so right now, what we're looking at is for the Derby, for the top 20 horses that we're looking at, Forte, trained by Todd Pletcher, has got 190 points. He would be ridden by Irad Ortiz. The last race he ran in was the Florida Derby. He won that at Gulfstream. The next likely race would be the Kentucky Derby. We have Practical Move. He's got 160 points. Kim Yakton trains him. Ramon Vasquez is the jockey. And his one of his last race that he won was the Santa Anita Derby. And the next race will likely be Kentucky Derby for him. That's what we're looking at there with him. So he's looking real good, you know, for it. And all these horses that we're going to talk about here real quick, a few more, to see exactly, you know, where they're at, what they're doing, and how they're doing it. The three horse is Angel of Empire. He's got 150 points. Trained by Brad Cox, who has Saez as the jockey. He last won the Arkansas Derby. Next race, Kentucky Derby. Tappa Trice, a Todd Pletcher trained horse again. Luis Saez is the jockey. His last race, he won the Bluegrass on April the 8th. Next race, the Kentucky Derby. And then we have Lord Miles. He's at number six. Last race won the Wood Memorial. Next race, the Derby. We had a horse called Two Fills. He's a good horse. He won the Jeff Ruby Stakes up at Turfway Park. He's gonna start in the Derby, but he wasn't a real strong contender in that Jeff Ruby Stakes. Then we have the Japanese horse, Derma Sakatoa. He got 100 points. He won the UAE Derby. Next race, Churchill Downs, the Kentucky Derby. And then our final horse that we're going to talk about was another Todd Pletcher horse. His name's Kingsborn, got 100 points. He won the Grade 2 Louisiana Derby at the Fairgrounds. His next race is the Kentucky Derby. So, you know, we're looking at some pretty good horses there. You know, we had a lot to talk about today. But remember, folks, it's always good to get all the information you can before you do anything. You know, if you're going to, you know, cook a turkey, then you get all the information, you study it over, and then it's hit and miss. And you do all that leading up to the Thanksgiving dinner, and hopefully it works out for you. But, you know, just stay in touch with us. Give us a holler at IENTV.org, 561-466-1272. Or IENEquineTV at gmail.com. Give us a holler. So stay tuned next week. You're going to get some good interviews next week, some live interviews, people that were involved in the Global Champions Tour in Miami and people that were involved in the last three Kentucky Derby prep races. So look forward to hearing from you next week at 2 o'clock. Thanks for tuning in.